Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. Period poverty continues to be a major issue for so many women and girls in our country. Federal SNAP benefits cannot be used for personal hygiene products, and the inability to access these products leads to heartbreaking consequences. My guests today, sisters Mia and Maya from Florida, started Enough for Everyone to help women living in shelters in their community to maintain their dignity and receive the personal hygiene products they need. Welcome back, everyone. I'm really excited to introduce you to my two new friends here today. They are sisters, Maya and Mia, and they're going to tell us all about this wonderful organization they started called Enough for Everyone. Hey girls, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well.
Thank you so much for being here in two separate places in our country. So why don't we start with you, Maya? Tell us all about yourself, how old you are, where you go to school, where you're living right now, and then we'll kick it to Sister Mia, and then you can tell us all about this great organization.
Awesome. Yeah. So my name's Maya Fern. I'm currently a student at Vanderbilt. I'm a freshman, just turned 19 last weekend, actually. And yeah, I'm studying political science, legal studies. I'm on a pre-law track. That's a little bit about me.
Amazing. And how about you, Mia?
Well, I'm doing well. I am currently a 16-year-old. I am a junior at Gulliver Prep.
So Maya, why don't you kick us off here? What is this all about? What is Enough for Everyone do?
Alrighty, so I originally started Enough for Everyone when I was a freshman in high school. Mia was in seventh grade. She was a little bit younger than most people when they start a nonprofit. Yeah, so when we do like our volunteer work, she would always tag along. And later on, as she got into high school, she got more involved. But just a little bit of backstory about how we actually started Enough for Everyone. Enough for Everyone is like a nonprofit that focuses on period poverty and that advocacy and putting an emphasis on like this kind of uncomfortable conversation. So our family's originally from Uruguay in South America. And my parents were like, my parents won the lottery of visa in 2002 and moved to Miami and kind of had like an American dream story situation going on where they came here with kind of like barely anything and built their way up into like a successful life here. And essentially, like growing up, our parents raised us very humble, very down to earth. And our mom would tell us stories about how some people in her life like couldn't afford period products and would use like cotton or anything that they had on hand. And this is something that I took for granted. It never really occurred to me that someone didn't have pads in their bathroom or tampons in their bathroom, like whenever they got their period. And so really hearing that story, it was like, why is nobody talking about this? Like, this is something that women go through every month without fail. Obviously there are extreme circumstances, but this is something that like, why is this uncomfortable? I was having like a hard time grasping, like this is happening to like basically every single woman. And it's something that we like don't like to talk about. And it's kind of shocking because it's like, this is like something like huge. Half the population goes through it. And it's kind of like this uneasy topic where people don't really like to mention it. It's kind of taboo. And so Enough for Everyone, I'll let Mia bounce off of this. But basically we have like four different pillars of like what we do. So first we work with other national organizations because obviously we're just two teenage girls. There's only so much we can do. So we really try to like make the impact as big as possible. So we work with some bigger national organizations. We locally work with a women's shelter. Our local women's shelter is called Lotus House. And we do two things with them. First of all, we donate. We collect donations and we donate to this women's shelter. And we volunteer there. So we get a group of girls or whoever wants to volunteer. We actually had boys volunteer as well. And we volunteer at the shelter, and Mia can explain a little bit more about their community efforts. And then lastly, we focus on advocacy work. So basically just talking at schools or posting on Instagram, just making sure really to get the word out about Enough for Everyone. So I don't know if Mia, you want to bounce off of that.
Yeah. Tell me more, Mia.
Yeah. Okay. So we tend to do three drives a year, one early school year, one around Valentine's Day, and then one right before summer, so you can hit kind of those marks where people are at school and almost more in the listening time. We work with national organizations. We work with, of course, like the Lotus House, as Maya said, but there's also another organization. It's called Period. And with Period, we sometimes will be able to create dates that work for both our volunteers and anybody they might have to create period packs. And those period packs, we can take some and give to the Lotus House, which we work with, or they'll take back to their women's shelters.
And those period packs, just to include, we will, like, Period, because it's a national organization, has a wider reach than us, and they have tons and tons of donations. So they have, like, a huge amount of just boxes full of pads and tampons. So we will go and we will give our time, and they have bags, and they're basically goodie bags, you could call them, and they have pads and tampons and anything that you might need on your period. So sometimes they'll have, like, ibuprofen or Advil or anything that you might need on your period. And so we will go and just pack those bags. And so, like Mia says, sometimes we'll donate them to Lotus House. Sometimes Period will have, like, a recipient already pre-planned. So that's kind of how we work with those kinds of organizations.
That's amazing. And do you have a sense of how much you've collected yourselves in these donation drives? And I'm curious about the donation drives. Is it just a box that you put out at school, Mia, or is it in a community center? Do you actually take donations of money and then go purchase the items? Because sometimes you can get better deals that way. So how does that donation piece work?
Yes, especially with donations and with school, with my friends, I ask, I let them know. A lot of them follow the Instagram we have, and so they're aware when drives are going on, when donations are wanted, needed. A lot of times, since I'll do donation collecting here, I'll put our address or I'll put my mom or my phone number to be able to contact us. A lot of times, kids who don't have time to go play sports, have parents who are very busy, we do offer them to, hey, if you send us a certain amount, we can go by and then we can collect the donation products and we will have them all collected, and then we'll get a group of kids to go with us to the Lotus House to volunteer.
That's amazing. And do you have a sense of how much you've collected over time? I mean, I know it's hard because they're individual pieces and stuff, but you make them into packs. So do you have an impact report?
Yeah, I really do think it's over 1,000 products.
Nice.
For sure. We are definitely, I think, nearing maybe 3,000 or 4,000, considering we've been doing this for about 4 years. Well, five, or about to hit six now. It's definitely up in the thousands range, I would definitely say. It's been great. It's been good. We've had a pretty big impact. I will say, not to get ahead of ourselves, a big, not necessarily issue, but like something that is kind of a challenge that we have faced is asking our friends for donations. You might think that everyone wants to donate, that everyone wants to help this issue, especially our girlfriends and their moms. And it's something that you would think everyone wants to, oh my God, yes, this is such a great idea, let's donate. That has been harder than we thought. We have to be on our friends, like, consistently for them to even think about donating. I will say it's a little easier to get them to go volunteer with us, but that has been, like, an adversity. So when we go to school and we let all our friends know, it takes, like, about 2 to 3 weeks to really get those donations in. And so it's a bit challenging at times to get those donations, especially like in a timely manner.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, it's a little bit of like spending money and going to the store and picking up. And, you know, that's why I mentioned about the financial support. You know, to some extent, I'm not going to suggest that it's lazy, but for someone who wants to participate, who wants to be helpful, but doesn't have the time to go out and purchase, if they can just give you $20, and again, you could go and go to Costco or something and get items for a little bit cheaper with that money, as opposed to going to a regular drugstore where it might be more expensive. And then the volunteers come and you put together these packs. Is that right, Mia?
Yes.
Yeah. How many volunteers did you say you have?
It really depends. A lot of times I will, as Maya said, the girls are usually easier to want to come to the volunteering sites. So I remember the last one we did, we had around, I want to say, 15 girls come with us. And I think the guys my age are a bit more shy, but last time Maya was able to get some of the older guys to come. And it's kind of sweet because they're able to see how we're helping and that even guys don't have to shy away from these conversations that are happening, even though it might not affect them, but the people around them.
Right. I love the idea of having young men come and even just handling the products. I know that sounds a little crazy, but if you don't have a sister, or your sister has never really shared any of this with you, or you don't share a bathroom with your sister, you literally, as a young man, may not have ever even seen what these products are. I think there's only good to be done by having young men to understand what periods are and how painful they are. Can you tell me a little bit more about the shelter, Maya? Do you have a sense of how many women they serve? Is it a temporary shelter? Is it a more permanent shelter? You know, when you drop off any number of packages, I don't know how many drop off during any one of your drives, how long will those last for them?
Right. So I can tell you the shelter does two different types of community work, you can say. The first one is, I can tell you about the shelter itself. It's more of a temporary solution. I know that for a fact. And basically they can stay the night there, they can stay the week there. We've helped serve meals. So we don't just do period poverty work. We also just whatever really the shelter needs. Our emphasis, of course, is period poverty. But if the shelter reaches out and says, hey, look, we need volunteers, we are more than happy to help. Obviously, there's a bunch of teenagers in high school need volunteer community service hours, so that's pretty easy to get them to go. But basically, yeah, that's kind of like a temporary solution. I'm pretty sure they house maybe around 200 women. So it's a pretty big shelter. And so we take boxes, and those donations can be split two different ways. It can go to the women in the shelter, and they will deal with that as they please. Or once a month, the shelter has a community kind of like event. Where the shelter is, it is not like a very affluent area. It's pretty high, like in poverty rates. And so they don't only help the women in the shelter, but once a month they'll have these community events, which is a bunch of different organizations will kind of put tents outside of the shelter, and the community will come and collect those donations. So they'll have like these huge bags, and they'll just go from table to table and throw in any products that the tables or the organizations might be offering. And so sometimes we'll have period products there. And so that is also another way that the donations can be used whenever we make these like little bags or have pads and tampons that the shelter maybe says, hey, we don't need this many. We will give them out at the community distribution drives. So those are kind of the two different ways that we do that kind of work.
Right, because there are people in the community there who are not living in the shelter because they have a home or whatever, but they're still living marginally. They're still, under-resourced. They still need help. As you know, or as you may know, if you are on SNAP benefits, those SNAP benefits are typically not, you're not able to use those for personal hygiene and for diapers and things. So again, the thing that people need the most, aside from food and sustenance, are these things that, the government funds are not necessarily helping them with. So, I mean, this is just, it's such important work. I mean, Mia, do you see, I love that you came along after your sister in the same high school and am continuing the work. Do you feel like there are volunteers who will continue to do these drives and things when you transition out to go to high school, to go to college?
I really do hope so. I do try to include, there's already like an established club here. It's called HEAL. And so I'm able to give more hours for like donations and when they actually go to the event with us. And I really think the biggest thing for the kids, like my age, is of course like giving donations, like you can have your parents give money and we can get the donations. But when these kids, these volunteers get to go to these distribution events where we give these products, they get to meet these people who sometimes are even a little bit shy to say, can I take two or can I take three? And we're always there to be, of course, we have a lot we can give. And it's always sweet to see everybody's faces. And as Maya said, the other organizations there is an all-boys school here in Miami. It's called Columbus High School, Christopher Columbus High School. And they have a certain tent where they give kids to women who are living in the shelter with the kids that are living with the women in the shelter. And they're like kids' books. And we'll also work with those boys that are my age, and we'll tell them, hey, can you ask your friends to give products? Because it is this kind of conversation at an all-boys school, like, why are we talking about this? But it is so important to make everybody aware. And I really do think that when they're able to see where their donations are going and the impact it's having on these people, and even if it's just being not having to worry about where you're going to get products for your next period, it is just so, like, impactful and they can see the change they're making when they're there.
Absolutely. Again, I can't stress this enough. The fact that you're engaging with boys and with a boys' school is so
important.
I just
want to add on, like, yes, we do have kind of a system going on where, like, this legacy or this organization can live on. We have different chapters in schools. So, and one of them is actually in this all boys' school. So they kind of took this initiative and started this chapter.
That's
so
great.
It might be a little awkward, but it's definitely creating change. Especially in an all boys school, it's not the most comfortable conversation.
I think it's fantastic because all of those boys have women in their lives, right? Mothers and sisters and aunts, and there are female teachers in that school. Again, as you pointed out at the very top, right, this is half of the population is dealing with this. And as you know, we didn't speak about this, but it's obvious to everyone listening. This is a hygiene and a health issue. Women who don't have enough of these products are going to use the same products for too long, leave a tampon in or a pad in, they're going to get an infection, they're going to get a rash, they're going to need to go to the emergency room, which is something we want to avoid, right? This is the same with diaper poverty, where a baby is forced to stay in a diaper for the entire day and night, or sometimes people wash diapers. I mean, this is disgusting, and it is unfair, and it is not necessary when, as you pointed out at the very beginning, Maya, we all take it for granted. We go in our bathroom and we open a drawer and there is just an abundance of all of the things that we need. And that's a tremendous, tremendous privilege. Well, ladies, this is really special and wonderful and such important work. I love how you've engaged with your community and especially with the boys in your community. Mia, can you tell us where people can learn more, follow your Instagram handle, if you have a website, all of that good stuff?
Yeah, you can. We have a website. It's www.enoughforeveryone. Also on our Instagram, you can search up Enough for Everyone or E4E with the number in the middle. A lot of times when you find that post, you'll find if they have any personal questions or they would like to get involved in case they're not in our area, a lot of the posts do have either Maya, mine, or my mom's personal numbers.
Nice. And people could start their own chapters in their own communities,
yes,
as they
100%.
Should. There should be one in every school across the country. Well, Mia and Maya, thank you so much for sharing this story with us. I'm really, really honored to share it with my listeners.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.